Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
Well, hello to all my friends out there in Prague land, whether you're listening on Praguezilla, Prague Positivity, or Voyage 35 Radio on the internet radio side, or if you're picking this up as a podcast from Society 13 or on iTunes or Stitcher, welcome aboard one more time for another episode of Prague Watch. This week I've got a lot of things lined up. I think I might need the big old Prague Watch shoehorn to try to jam it all in again like I did a few weeks ago. So I'm going to get things rolling right off the bat here. First up, I'd like to play something from Riverside. This is from their latest album, Love, Fear, and the Time Machine, just released this year. Riverside is, of course, a Polish progressive rock band. And I played some of Mariusz Duda's side project, Lunatic Soul, last week. So I figured, hey, you know what? I never actually played any Riverside on the show so far. And I've been listening to a lot of them lately. They have 6 albums to their credit so far, but they've put out a lot of EPs over the years since they started out in 2003. I'm going to go ahead and play the cut for you. The name of the song is Saturate Me, and this is from Love, Fear, and the Time Machine by Riverside. Once again, that was Riverside from their latest album, Love, Fear, and the Time Machine. The name of the song was Saturate Me. For those of you who don't know, Riverside is Marius Duda on vocals, bass, and acoustic guitars, and ukulele on this album. Piotr Grudzinski on guitars, Michael LaPay on keyboards, and Piotr Kozieradzki. Yeah, Kozieradzki on drums. Once again, that was Riverside.
Hello, this is Anton Rollart from New York City, and you're listening to Prog Watch.
That's going to bring me to a little regular feature we've been doing here lately, the Prog Radar Weekly Recommendation by Martin Hutchinson over at Prog Radar. Now you can check out Prog Radar on Facebook. There's a Facebook page, Prog Radar, or progradar.org is up and running again. I mentioned it a week or two ago, and I wasn't sure. I knew he had some server issues a few months back, but I was just there the other day checking it out. So it's there. It's up and running. And you can get a lot of great reviews on a lot of new music over there. Martin is farming out some reviews to some people from Progzilla, some of the other DJs or presenters, however you like to call them, and lots of friends over there who are, you know, some of them musicians, some in the record industry. So, yeah, check it out, Prog Radar. But this week, the recommendation comes from the album by The Room. This is the second album for this UK band. The first one was Open Fire in 2012. The name of the album is Beyond the Gates of Bedlam. It was just released this year, and the name of the song is Masquerade.
You count me in, you count me out. I'm not sure what this is all about. The silence deafens, the pins they fall. Can we slay this thing once? Once and for all, my head it spins with complete defiance. I spill my conscience just to break the silence. Don't paint it silver, paint it gold. This is the last hurrah, or so I'm told. Like a man in a bubble, I can't. I have no doubt. Cast me a lifeline, or watch me as I drown, slipping under, under, to start the countdown. Don't paint it silver, paint it gold. This is the last hurrah, or so I'm told. As I watch the taillights as they fade away, now I play my part in this crazy masquerade. Thank you. and I would fall down to smear the makeup of this dying clown. Don't paint it silver, paint it gold, but this is a last hurrah, or so I'm told. As I watch the taillights and as they fade away, now I play my part in this crazy masquerade.
Once again, that was The Room from their album Beyond the Gates of Bedlam. The name of the song was Masquerade. For those of you who don't know, The Room is Steve Anderson on guitars, keyboards, and backing vocals, Steve Checkley on keyboards and backing vocals, Andy Rowe, bass guitar and backing vocals, Martin Wilson, lead vocals, and Chris York on drums, percussion, and vocals. Now for Martin's bite-sized review. The band have invested major time and energy in this impressive release, taking accepted AOR and melodic rock norms and ripping them up to start again with a more focused and intense take on the genre, still including elements of that progressive tinged sound that has become something of a hallmark. It will appeal to old and new fans alike. So once again, that was the Prog Radar Weekly Recommendation and Bite-Sized Review from Martin Hutchinson.
Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
Moving right along, I'm going to play something from Sean Filkins. He was born in Rochester, Kent, UK, and he was in a band called Lorien and a space rock band named Soma. But I guess he really came to fame as the vocalist for Big Big Train between 2003 and 2009. I'm going to play something from his album, War and Peace and Other Short Stories. It's the first release under his own name from 2011, and the name of the song is Learn How to Learn.
Learn how to learn. Did you break the mold, realize the truth, become one with yourself? Did you follow through the dreams that you made? Tracing back your past with no regrets, it's so very hard to do. Life's intricacy, pathways crossing over themselves. Were you ever led by a pattern plan, slowly letting life pass you by? So easy in its simplicity. Not making the most of what you had, not holding on to your self-esteem. Blinker, not seeing what you should have.
Once again, that was Sean Filkins from his War and Peace and Other Short Stories album from 2011. The name of the song was Learn How to Learn. It's the album closer. Always liked that track. A little bit of sitar and everything thrown in there. Pretty cool prog track there.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, it is. Time for something completely different. That little segment of the show where I try to play some music from a band you may not have ever heard of. This time around, I've got Isles, A-I-S-L-E-S. They are a progressive rock band from Santiago, Chile. And they are, in their home country, considered one of the most interesting acts of recent years. They've released 3 albums so far. The first was The Yearning in 2005. In Sudden Walks came in 2009. And this one, 4:45 a.m., 2013. They're working on their 4th album, and it should be out next year. But from their latest, which is 4:45 a.m., I'm going to play a song called Hero. Thank you. Once again, the name of the band, A-I-S-L-E-S. They're from Santiago, Chile. Yeah, I like this album. It was one of these deals where they cropped up. I think I hooked up with them on Twitter. And it was like, hey, check out our album. So I did. And as a piece of work, I could appreciate this album very much. I actually saw in their press release material, they had a little review here. It says, there is an emotional intensity to 4:45 a.m. that is delivered with aplomb. I feel drained of emotion after listening to this album, for it touches you to the depths of your soul. I applaud Isles for producing something that is as unique as they are. And that was from our friend Martin Hutchinson once again when he was writing for LadyObscure.com. But at this point, I'd like to get into a little feature that I'm going to do here on Anton Rolart. Now, Anton was born in the Netherlands, but moved with his family to the United States at a very young age. He grew up listening to a lot of classical music and opera, which is what his father loved and played around the house. But Anton explains a lot of this himself by way of answering my questions. So I'll let you hear a little bit of that first. The first question always has to do with where do your ideas come from and how are they developed?
The ideas for my music started early on. My father was an avid classical and opera music listener and connoisseur. He knew a lot about the subject. He played music in the house all the time. My brother, who's about 6 years older than me, also had joined a rock and roll band, and I liked what he was doing. Both my father and my brother were also fine artists, their medium being painting, and they were quite good at it and studied it. So I grew up in a family of artists, and we talked about music a lot. Hence, my interest in music was seeded early on. I found that music touched me in a special way, something that I really connected with. Going further, I would say the ideas are based on experiences I've had. One example of that is the song Gravity. I used to have a dream when I was young about flying, but I remember in that dream I kept on losing the ability to fly. It was like gravity was pulling me down, and I wanted to keep on flying. Outside from my personal experiences, the ideas also come from things that connected with me, perhaps a movie I saw or something I read. Often it's music I've been listening to. I listened a lot to the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Cat Stevens, David Bowie, Yes, Genesis. All these bands certainly had an influence on me, as well as do some of the bands I'm listening to now. I'm listening a lot to Steve Wilson. His music is just amazing. So you could say that the nostalgia for these emotions that were stirred inside of me feed or give birth to ideas that I wish to recreate with my music. Once I have a basic idea, I try to put it down. Now, this idea could be lyrics, it could be a melody, it could be a riff on the guitar or keyboard. I try to develop them. I experiment. For me, it's much like I see a painter, how he approaches his art. He splashes colors on the canvas. For me, I splash sounds and put them together to make the music. For this reason, I like to use the term art rock for the music that I do. I'm a solo artist, and I do write and arrange most of the music that you hear in my albums. However, I do invite my musicians over and open the doors for them to add their creativity. Regarding lyrics, I know some people pay less attention to lyrics, some people pay more attention to lyrics. I've never really felt that I was that great with lyrics, and sometimes I struggle with it, but I do think they are important. I mean, they also have to mean something to me, and often are of a very personal nature. Now, given all that I've said, I do want to say that some songs come to me pretty easily, and I put them together somewhat quickly, but most of the time, they evolve over time. One thing that comes up very often in our rehearsals with the band and trying to show them some songs that I've written is the guys will say, well, you know, Anton, that's kind of odd. You know, you do this little thing, like you put in only three beats where most people will put in four. And I just look at them and say, well, I don't know. That's just how I felt it. I'm not trying to, you know, write something with all these different time signatures just to be progressive rock or something. I'm just writing what I feel, just trying to write good music.
Next, what kind of equipment do you use? How and why did you choose your instruments? What, if any, modifications have you made to get your sound?
As for the equipment that I use, I'm sitting here in my studio looking around going, okay, let's see, what do I have? Okay, well,
Let's start with the guitars. I have a Guild Spanish guitar, and I say Spanish because Guild, to my surprise, made some classical guitars in Spain, and this one was made in Spain. I also have a Taylor 12-string, which I just love to play. It's really easy to play, and it has a great sound. And I also have a Guild D25 six-string acoustic guitar, which has a beautiful, deep sound, and it's been beat up and repaired many times over the years, but I still play it all the time. Moving on to the electric guitars, I have a Parker Fly, which initially I didn't really take to in the beginning, but my friend Vito convinced me that it's a really good guitar, and after playing it a while, I did learn to like it a lot. Furthermore, I have a Heritage H575 hollow body guitar, which I use and I love. It's a little bit jazzy sounding guitar. Finally, I have a Fender Precision Bass and a Kentucky Mandolin and a Melobar slide guitar. For keyboards, I have a Korg electric piano with full 88 keys, and I also have a couple other keyboards that I use as MIDI controllers to trigger the sounds in the sound modules. My home studio is quite small. I've, you know, bought and sold equipment over the years, but right now what I have is I'm using Cakewalk Sonar. I'm pretty happy with that DAW, and I have a REM audio interface, a Roland JV1010 sound module, Kurzweil sound module. I also have a slew of acoustic percussive instruments from, you know, chimes to woodblocks, tabla, and I use those as well. I actually really like to start introducing more and more world instruments into my music. You've probably noticed it a little bit on my last album. I don't record drums at home. I've used Rave Tessar Studio, who I work with a lot. I've also recorded drums at various studios, including when I recorded Peter Van Horn, who played drums on most of the tracks for The Plight of Lady Una. We did those in the Netherlands using Night Area's studio, which was beautiful. It's a little studio out in the middle of nowhere in a farm in the Netherlands, and that was a lot of fun. I also like using some drum loops that I constructed in parts of some of the songs. I did that on Plight of Lady Una, and I'll probably continue doing some of that as well. My main instrument is a guitar, as most of you know, and I do use a Pod HD500 for my effects pedals. I have a couple other effects pedals. And over the years, I've tried many different things. The HD500 primarily also really works well for me in a live environment, and I've got some great patches that I tweaked for my electric guitar as well as the acoustic guitar. I think it's probably accurate to say that many musicians are trying different things, changing equipment, so my equipment does change over time. I really enjoy the recording process and, as I said before, experimenting with different equipment as well as sounds and techniques. There's a tremendous amount of work done to create an album, and I have the liberty of taking my time because I do it on my own, and it saves me a lot of money. But believe me, it's a lot of work, but I enjoy it very much.
And what is the recording process like for you? Is it tedious and structured, or do you allow yourself flexibility to continually create as you record?
The recording process for me is probably where I spend most of my time. And it is somewhat structured. It can be tedious at times, but I like to take my time. I'm somewhat of a perfectionist, and yes, things can take a long time to get it right. I also believe it is important to allow yourself the option of being creative during the recording process. And by that, I mean maybe you want to change the song. It evolves. When I record, very often I'm spending a lot of time picking out patches, especially for keyboards, for the tunes that I'm trying to write. And as I'm going through the patches, I sometimes get new ideas. I spend an enormous amount of time experimenting with different sounds. The keyboard parts you hear on my albums were mostly done by myself, except when I needed a real piano player or a really good synthesist, and I could not perform them, in which case I would go to Rave or Kindle, and they would perform those parts for me. For me, picking the right sounds has a lot to do with conveying the right feeling. Another thing I've learned in my years of recording is that sometimes when you first get an idea and you go into your studio and you quickly make a track and you've captured the moment, but you forgot to really put all the settings in place to make sure it's a very good recording, or maybe you made a little mistake and you just let it go. I would say when you have that moment, take the time to make sure your settings are right, because that track, that take, may be very important and you'll never get that feeling back again. I've also liked to experiment with going out into the field, so to say, and taking a portable recorder and recording some ambient sounds from the environment, the city, nature. I may end up using some of those sounds in parts of the songs, maybe very subtle, and you may never notice it, but I like to do that. I love to experiment with many different things, many different approaches. I remember way back in the early 80s when I was studying sound engineering, and I received my certificate in that. I was working with a guy that did incredibly creative approaches. Everything was analog back then, and you know, he wanted to capture a certain effect or sound. And you know, one quick example was he ran a microphone across the street into a church to capture the room sound of that church. It happened to be very close to the studio. Well, nowadays people have digital alternatives, and things are in many ways much easier. You know, the creativity is still there, but the effort that people went to back in those days, splicing tape and doing all kinds of crazy things to achieve a certain effect, really caught my attention, and I thought it was pretty cool. I'm still learning a lot about recording, and I'm developing my recording skills. One thing I really would like to do more of in the future is get the whole band together in studio and record the songs in live, you could say, all of us playing in the same room. You know, you're going to do your overdubs and all that other stuff, but I think there's a certain energy that you capture when we're all in the same room that is hard to replicate. I've already started laying out some songs to be recorded for my next album, and I'm trying to plan how I'm going to do that. I do have to think about budget, and you know, that plays a role, but I really enjoy cutting albums. It's a big joy in my life.
You're listening to the station with the best mix of music. Progzilla, bringing you the best progressive music has to offer.
Okay, now that we know a little bit about Anton, you know, where his ideas come from, his instruments, etc., I'm going to play a little bit of his music from his first album called The Dreamer, released in 2007. I'd like to give you a cut called On to the Afterglow.
Searching for an answer. I forsake your love. I'm spreading like sparkles. Watch the light fade away,
fade away, fade away.
Thank you.
Once again, that was On to the Afterglow by our featured artist this week, Anton Rollart, from his album Dreamer in 2007. I really enjoyed this track. It started off soft and dreamy, some flute, acoustic guitar, ethereal vocals. There was a lot of interplay between the guitar and the keyboards. It reminded me a little of Steve Hackett in some places. There were also a lot of dynamics, moments of calm that were punctuated by guitar and synth runs. Large keyboards and female backing vocals rounding out things into a beautiful blend that you could only call prog. Anyway, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to let you hear the last couple answers to our questions here from Anton. Next up, do you get to play live as often as you would like? What do you love about being in front of an audience, and what do you hate? Do you have any fears?
Playing live for me is something that I'm still working on. I've actually been playing live acoustically since I was about 18 years old. I really love it. I've had several bands that I've played in over the years, not as many as I'd like. And now I'm really focusing on my own band, my own music. And I really have a deep respect for the musicians I work with, as well as musicians in general. I am currently trying to get gigs for the band, which is very difficult. New York is very competitive, and traveling and rehearsals and whatnot is very expensive, especially being a solo artist. I'm doing everything myself, and it's kind of hard. I could probably use some help, something like a manager. One of my big dreams is to tour more. To achieve this goal, I've added some musicians to my band, and the only big problem for me is that it is a little bit more expensive for me regarding rehearsals and paying my musicians for the gigs. Generally, I end up paying to play, which is unfortunate, but however, I'm not going to let that stop me. It is one of my dreams, and it's important to me, so I'm going to give it a shot. Besides playing in a band, I'm also trying to make my solo acoustic performances a little bit more interesting, and I've gotten to learn main stage, and I'm introducing some keyboards. I would love to play a little bit of keyboards and some several different instruments when I perform alone, perhaps using some, well, actually not perhaps, but I will be using some backing tracks, which I think will be very interesting, and I have, I love the technology, and I think there's a lot of things you can do now that's pretty acceptable in front of an audience, even if you're alone, and I mean by using some backing tracks. Regarding the band I've put together right now, I have a keyboard player from Argentina. His name is Mauricio Nutt, and I actually recruited him from the tango scene here in New York City, and as well as I needed some help on guitar, so I got in touch with Jane Getter, and she's actually an awesome guitarist and just wonderful person to work with. And then my other keyboard player is a friend I've been working with since 2007. That's Kendall Scott. For many years, I've had Vinny Perrier playing bass, and I will continue to work with him. He's one of the best bass players I've seen. And I now have a friend of mine from a long time ago playing drums with me. His name is Bob Kirby. What I really love about playing live is having a great sound guy and also just the communication between the band when it's really clicking. And of course, the feedback and the energy from the audience is just awesome. I do honestly believe, and I've been told by many professional musicians, that my music would go over well with a live band in a live performance. I'm trying to put together a package that can do that, and I'm doing that with the help of these great musicians. Again, to answer your question about if I have any fears about playing live, I would say that I need to improve myself. The musicians I work with are very well versed in playing live, so they're great, and they actually are my catapult to improve myself and get to the point where I'm really comfortable on stage, because I know that what I can present to the audience will be really good. So for me personally, it's about performing more, getting more comfortable on stage, improving my confidence in myself in a band format, and getting out there. My new band has already had a couple of gigs this year, and it's been pretty good. We need more. I think what the band really needs is to open up for some big acts. And, the CD sales have been fine, but we haven't played live enough to have a big following yet, but I'm working on it.
And finally, do you remember the first song you ever wrote, even if you were a kid or teen? Greg Lake said he wrote Lucky Man when he was like 12. What about you? If you remember it, do you care to give us a sample? Play a few bars, maybe? And what song in your current catalog do you love the most and feel best defines the sound you want to be identified with?
All right, the first song I ever wrote, well, actually, I remember that pretty clearly. It's a song called Shipwreck. It's a song about people that were shipwrecked, and they were living on this island, and they were getting used to a new life, a simple life, living off of nature. Years pass by, and then later on, they see a boat passing by, and having really learned to love the life that they lived, they were contemplating whether they should signal the ship or stay on the island. And that's basically the theme of the song. It's loosely based on my interest when I was a kid to the Robin Crusoe movie. I think it was a Disney movie, I'm not sure. But I remember I liked that. I liked the whole idea. I made a recording of it a long time ago, but it's part of the lost tapes. I'll recover it one day. And maybe I'll re-record this song again. I can play you a little bit of it for you.
Passing of lights, we are caught in the darkness. Riving on some lonely island. We have survived, and we shall strive ever on. Accepting our fate, we learned a new culture. Having lost that which we had yesterday, we have survived, and we shall strive ever on.
That's just a couple of verses. To answer your question about which tunes I feel are a signature of the kind of music I want to be doing, there are several tunes, actually, but let's pick one from the last album. I would say The Revealing Light is a song that I really like. It has different parts. I like the heavy part in the song. I would like to do maybe a little bit more of that. Gravity is a song that a lot of people like, and I do like it a lot, and it's actually a fairly simple song. It is one of the most requested songs and liked songs. It's kind of hard to answer your question, actually, because it also depends on the mood that I'm in. You know, certain moods call for different types of music to listen to or to create. And I love when I did The Plight of Lady Una, I liked the different parts and, you know, ending it with a classical guitar piece. I've been saying for years I'd love to do something like Tales of Topographical Oceans, which is one of my favorite Yes albums. I don't know. I believe that you're going to hear different things from me, hopefully. Yes, it will still have my own signature, meaning you'll be able to tell it's an Anton song. And, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still trying to do different things, and I hope I'll never stop doing that.
Well, that was pretty cool, wasn't it? We got a little sample of the first song Anton ever wrote, and he kind of gave us an intro to the next song. One of the songs that he mentioned that he thinks best defines his sound was The Revealing Light from his album The Plight of Lady Una, released in 2014, and that's what I'm going to play for you right now.
Thank you. so beautiful.
Let's be free.
way worshipped the sun. For it is the sun that gives light and spawns life itself. But perhaps what man has never fully realized is that we are one with the sun. For the sun is a star, and the very particles that we are made from come from the stars themselves.
Once again, that little epic was called The Revealing Light from the album The Plight of Lady Una from 2014 by our featured artist Anton Rollart. And it was one of the songs that Anton singled out as being pretty indicative of the sound he wants to be identified with, and a sound that he would like to maybe explore more. Yeah, this was the album closer, and it gives you a good indication of the mood of the album. I like the, you know, you had the child's voice coming in places, birds tweeting, someone gently tapping, soft flute, and Anton's own pleasant voice. It almost threatens to get heavy and dark in some places, but doesn't go too far. I thought it was a nice finale to a really enjoyable album. So if you like your prog in a vintage symphonic style, but also like it to be a little more accessible, I think you like Anton Rollart. The compositions are very catchy, accessible, you know, but you've got that classical ballad and folk influence going on. Great guitar work and keyboard arrangements. Check him out. Anton Rollart. That's R-O-O-L-A-A-R-T. Anton Rollart. And that sound you just heard was me climbing up into the attic in search of another golden oldie from the classic days of prog back in the 70s for our Classic Corner feature. And this week I've pulled out some old Focus from 1972 from their Focus 3 album. Now, it doesn't take a genius to figure that that was the third album by this Dutch band. And it was the only double album they ever released. It peaked at number 6 on the UK album charts, and it spawned one single, Sylvia, which reached number 4 in the UK and number 33 in the US. Ah, the golden days when prog could still occasionally make it onto the charts, huh? But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and play that song, the single from Focus 3 that actually made it onto the charts. The name of the song is Sylvia. And that was our classic corner feature from the band Focus. The name of the song once again was Sylvia, and was from the album Focus 3 in 1972. That's about all the time I have this week. So, as I always like to ask, if you like the show, you know, you can give us a like on the Facebook page, Prog-Watch, or you can follow me on Twitter, at ProgSquatch, all one word, ProgSquatch. And if you do either of those things, you'll see my daily classic, and occasionally I'll post some other things regarding the show or some interesting prog news. If you want to, you can also send me an email, progsquatch@gmail.com, progsquatch, all one word, progsquatch@gmail.com. So once again, thank you for coming along for the ride. I hope you enjoyed it, and I'll say to you, prog on, brothers and sisters.
Amazing at tracking down hard-to-find items. Library books, socks, you name it. But sometimes help is welcomed. Care.com makes it easy to find babysitters near you. Sitters with the experience and skills your family needs, like after-school pickup and homework help. You just post a job for qualified sitters to apply. And since all Care.com caregivers are background checked, you can feel confident about interviewing and hiring. To get the child care help you need, sign up now at Care.com.